greet you in Jesus' name. It's certainly a blessing to be able to worship with the congregation here. And we have already thought about how wonderful it is to have brotherhood. And it is a tremendous blessing. It is not bondage. It is a blessing to have brotherhood. And it really, as we become a part of brotherhood, it really strengthens our lives. So it was good to be here with you this morning. You can open your Bibles to Matthew 6, verse 9. And if you know that verse so well, you don't need to turn to it. That's fine also. Actually, you do know the verse very well. But you may turn to it. And we want to look at the phrase out of this verse. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The title of the message is Hallowed Be Thy Name. We want to just spend some time thinking about that phrase that we so easily run right across without getting too deep into. I'm talking about myself. But hallowed be thy name. Certainly we should never take the name of God in vain. Certainly not in any shape or form. But the phrase hallowed be thy name means much more than just taking his name in vain. It means much more than that. God should be set apart and lifted up. God should be highly respected. God should be held in the highest honor. Yes, the first thing Jesus mentions about God in his prayer is that God should be highly respected. Hallowed be thy name. And if that can be what comes out of our lips when we say that, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, what a difference that will make in our lives. And I trust it is making a difference in your life. What is your level of respect for God? Is it high or is it low? The psalmist said in Psalm 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence by all them that are about him. God is greatly to be feared. Hallowed be thy name. It is easy not to hold God in the highest honor. What is going on in the modern world about us? Do they fear God? Do they honor him? No. There are some that do in a certain level or entirely. But the modern world about us is not honoring God. They don't hold God's name high. Do they respect him as creator? No, they vehemently deny him as creator. Evolution is the only acceptable teaching, which is completely undermining God. Do they honor him? No. Do they respect him for purity and marriage? No. They mock his will. They throw his directions right out of the window and trample them under feet. They live directly in opposition to his will with intent, just to show that they can live as they please and it doesn't matter. They do not hallow his name. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And that is the two camps that we finally have. Those who hallow his name and those who have no fear of God before their eyes. That is the two camps that we are in. We are in the one or the other. Yes, God is not hallowed in their eyes. If God has a plan, They are opposed to it. That's the modern world about us. They resist prayer. They resist the Bible. They resist God's order of headship. They resist accountability. They resist truth itself. They say the world is not established upon truth, but upon some other strange things. They resist God himself. God is not set apart and lifted up. God is not highly respected. God is not held in the highest honor. God's name is not hallowed. But Jesus, as he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And if you start there, oh, what a beginning. What a beginning to life. What a beginning to the day. And where will the day end? But God will show us his goodness as we hallow his name. Many times the children of Israel didn't hold God's name in the highest honor, or God in the highest honor. They said they did, but there was no regard for God in the way they lived. In Jeremiah 7, verse 8 through 10, we have these words. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal and murder and commit adultery and swear falsely and burn incense unto Baal and walk after other gods whom ye know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, We are delivered. We are safe to do all these abominations. Yeah, there was that long list of they were doing all these things that were rebellion against God. They were stealing, murdering, committing adultery, walking after other gods, and they were coming into the synagogue or into the temple, and they were saying, we are safe to do these things. God said, no. They were not holding God in the highest honor. They despised him, and God noticed their contempt. And God notices when we do not hold him in the highest honor. Why should we hold God in the highest honor? Why, what a silly question. Why should we hold God in the highest honor? Because he deserves the highest honor. Who else deserves honor? Do I? But it's easy for us not to hold God in the highest honor. And in Malachi, I'm going to just read a few verses there in Malachi 1. Verse 10 through 13. And in Malachi, they had that problem as well, where they didn't hold God in the highest honor. And we see this interchange, exchange between God and them as he relates to them. And he says, you are not holding me in honor, you are despising me. In Malachi 3, verse 10. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you. Now, what was he saying there? I think we could say it this way. God was saying, shut the doors of the temple. Don't light the fires of the altar. I have no pleasure. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. These Jewish people here? No. These Jewish people here that are supposed to be the children of God, that are the children of God? No. My name shall be great among those people that you call dogs. They know better how to worship me. You are, well, he goes on. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye say, also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept it at your hands? Saith the Lord. Oh, that language is too close to my heart, isn't it? Ye found it contemptible. You said what a weariness it is. Must I go to church again? Oh, must I? I'll just take. Am I going to give him the best? Can I just take this lamb that's fixing to die, or this animal that has a broken leg? Can I give that to God? What were they thinking? Hallowed be thy name. That was not in their heart. And God saw it. And God saw it. Do we hallow his name? Do we exalt God high in our estimation? Oh, what did God finally tell them in Malachi? He told them, go offer to your governor. Do that once. Oh, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't offer. The goat has a broken leg, but it's the best I could do. Oh, they would know exactly what the governor would think of them if they did that. That's not why they would offer to the governor. They would offer to the governor so that the governor would think well of them. They wouldn't do that a bit. Just like you, what if you would get the chance to meet the president? Oh, yeah, we would just, yeah, I would like to see what that was like if you get to meet the president and what kind of attention you would pay to make sure that everything was just right and good and proper. And then you come to church and it doesn't matter about anything. And it, no. Well, just a minute, what's going on here? Wait. Yes, they found it so easy for God to be contemptible to them, for God to be a weariness. Is that what God is to me? Is that what God is to me? Is it a weariness to serve him? God will get his fear. God will get his worship. God will get his honor and his respect. And that's important for us to factor in as we think about who I'm going to hold in the highest honor and why or why not I'm going to hold God in the highest honor, because ultimately God will get that respect right out of your lips, in total sincerity, because he is that kind of a person. He is that great, and he deserves, and it'll just come out of your mouth without reservation, that thou art great, and you deserve every ounce of worship. But let's make that a voluntary offering from our lips today. Yeah, let's make that a voluntary offering from our lips today. In Isaiah 2, verse 20 and 21, in that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they have made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Oh, yeah. Then things are going to start looking different. When God starts shaking the earth, oh, yeah. We can have a lot of stability on the earth until God starts shaking the earth. I've never been through an earthquake, but everyone that I've heard that has been through an earthquake, all of a sudden the whole world is different. There's nothing solid. Yeah. When God starts shaking the earth, then, yeah. What about those fine idols of gold, those fine idols of silver? They'll throw them to the bats because they are not offering any security at all. And they will recognize the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth. Yes. Yes, when God shakes the earth, there will be a fear of him. There will be an awe of his majesty. Then his name will be hallowed, yes. His name will be held in highest regard, because he will be showing to us in a powerful way, in a very vivid way, who he is. That almost suggests he isn't doing that today. But that's actually not true. he is actually showing to you, to each one of us, in a very vivid way, who he is. And if we only would take the time to stop, and it doesn't take much time to meditate upon what God is doing for us, to realize his name should be hallowed. His name should be highly revered. God should be highly revered. Why don't we hallow his name? If we go on in Isaiah 2, verse 22, he says simply, "Cease from man, whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of?" He says simply, "Cease from man." Oh, we get things so tangled up. And I think I am pretty accomplished. And I think I can get a lot of, should get a lot of respect. And I think about myself. Yes, we think about ourselves way too much. Way too much, and way too little of God. And we don't understand how frail we are. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we do understand how frail we are. And sometimes we just totally forget. Yes, our breath is fragile. Yes, our breath is very fragile. Our breath will fail. You are going to die. That's how strong you are. That's how enduring you are. You are going to die. You are a wimp. Ha ha. There you go. You are a wimp because you're going to die. You can't even keep your breath in you. Yes. We are. Yeah. We're going to die. That's how capable we are. And we can't even decide when we're going to die. Well, we could die young, or we die old. Whenever God Almighty decides we're going to die, then we die. You know, that's when it is. We could be in the best of health and we die. Or we could get old and feeble and try to survive, and still die. Yeah, we're going to die. That's how capable we are, and we can be proud of. We can't even be proud of that. No, please don't. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Yes. Yes. And so let's get that all corrected up here in our heads. What was Nebuchadnezzar doing in Daniel 3? Clue. It had to do with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was there building something. It was 90 feet tall. He covered it with gold, and it was an image of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if anybody should have been feared in that generation, it would have been a Nebuchadnezzar, right? Right? Whose name was to be in the highest regards? Nebuchadnezzar's? Or God's? Nebuchadnezzar, you better be careful. What was Nebuchadnezzar doing in chapter 4? What was he doing in chapter 4? Why is he out there in the field? Why is he eating grass? What is going on with Nebuchadnezzar? Is he such a great man? I don't suppose they had him out in the front of the palace in a pasture somewhere. They probably had him out back somewhere, you know, in some place where nobody could see him really, you know, as he was out there eating grass and growing claws like birds and feathers, and I don't know what all was happening to Nebuchadnezzar. Well, I do know what was happening to Nebuchadnezzar. Be quiet. He's learning a lesson. He's learning a lesson, an important lesson. Let him there. Let him learn. He's learning something very important. In Daniel 4, verse 34 and 35, and at the end of the days, here's the lesson. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. Praise the Lord! He learned it! And I blessed the Most High. He was highly exalted in the world. He was King of Kings, in a sense, in the earthly realm. He was a mighty king. But he says, I learned something. My understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is of everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar could have an earthly kingdom here, but it could only last for as long as Nebuchadnezzar lived, and then Nebuchadnezzar would no longer have a kingdom. No, but there was a kingdom that was going to be from everlasting to everlasting, and that is, well, the one he magnified at that point. I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth forever and whose dominion is from everlasting. Yeah, his dominion is everlasting and his kingdom from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? No, we can't even do that, can we? We just have to, if we don't understand what he's doing, we just say, I don't understand. We can't even, you know, we just have to accept what God is doing and receive of his hand his goodness, or, and it is his goodness, or his correction, which is his goodness. And try to live in light of that, because we can't. He's almighty. He is the one who is almighty. Hallowed be thy name. That's what we mean. That's what we mean when we say, hallowed be thy name. I will praise him. I will bless him who liveth forever and ever. Hallowed be thy name. That needs to be the expression of my heart. I bless you. I praise and honor you. You are everlasting. We are nothing. You can do whatever you want. How? How shall we hallow his name? I'm going to just look here at in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Just a few brief thoughts from this prayer. How should we hallow his name? Because he is our heavenly Father, our Father which art in heaven. And we should hallow his name because of that. He created this amazing world. He created you. He took some dust, and I don't know what he did. I can't imagine how you can take some dust and make an eye see. I can't imagine so many things that God did with dust. I'm totally incapable of doing anything like it. But God can. And he took some dust and he made you and me. And then he made the world about us. Such an amazing, fascinating, utterly fascinating place that God made for us. Our Father, which art in heaven. This supreme being wants me to be his child. that is amazing also. He wants me to be his child and he to be my dad. Oh, yes. What an opportunity I have. What a blessedness I have that I can experience God Almighty as a dad. What amazing love. What amazing good fortune for me. Yes, hallowed be thy name. Why should I hallow his name? Because I want his kingdom to come. Which kingdom do you want to come? His kingdom? There's another kingdom. There's the kingdom of darkness. Which kingdom do you want? And you know, why do we even puzzle over it? But we do. Do we want light or do we want darkness? Do we want life or do we want death? Do we want peace or do we want turmoil? Do we want God's or do we want Satan's kingdom? Which kingdom? Thy kingdom come. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And he hath, by his in his kindness, delivered us from the power of darkness. Thank you, God. And translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What a privilege. What an honor. Oh, we should delight in being called Christians. Yes, little Christs. We should delight in that. What an honor that we should be able to be called Christians, the followers of Christ. Hallowed be thy name. Amen. Why should I hallow his name? Because I want his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you sure about that? I want his will to be done on earth like it is in heaven. Can we say amen to that? Amen, yes. Again, maybe we hesitate. Because what if? What if? Do you want to live in that world? Where Jesus? Where Jesus is supreme? Where his will is done on earth like it is in heaven? Yes. Is that going to be happiness? Yes, it's going to be happiness. Is that going to be fulfilling? Is that going to be the fullness of life? Yes, it is. And sometimes we get confused about that. May thy will be done. Yes, may thy will be done in my life as it is done in heaven. May you have complete control over the earth and over the world. Yes, the road of sin, the way of self, the way of empty pleasure and fun is not the life I want to live. No, it isn't. It is not. I've tried the road of sin and found its prospects all deceive. Oh, I wish every young person could understand that. That the prospects of sin are just a big deception. And while there is some pleasure in it, it takes you down, down, down to bondage. To bondage that you cry out in anguish and say, I need help. I've followed the way of sin, and it just takes away, and it takes away, and it takes away in every aspect of life. If only our young people could understand that. And if only our young people could understand, and me, that the way of God, and the way of this book, that which says you can't do this and you can't do that, the way of this book is the way of, yes, happiness is the way of life. Is the way of goodness, is the way of contentment, is the way of fulfillment. Yes, may we ever pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we should hallow his name, because we want his will done in my life and in the world, the whole world, as it is in heaven. Why should I hallow his name? Because he gives me my daily bread. Ah, yes, we should hallow his name. What if he just gave us as much bread as we were thankful for? Oh, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? If he would give us just as much bread as we were thankful for, I think we would start generating a lot more thankfulness for bread, right? We go to the, you know, open up and we eat our bread and we will, you know, God isn't even in the picture, but God is in the picture when you're eating bread. Because he's the one that gives us our daily bread. Yeah. And he should be hallowed because we need bread, right? Physically, we need bread. His name should be hallowed because he gives us our daily bread. And then the next phrase is, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. His name should be hallowed because if I forgive those who wrong me, he will forgive me. He will forgive me. That is tremendous. If that God would be willing to forgive us is huge, is just over the top. Because if we don't find forgiveness, if we don't find reconciliation with God, there is a dark road ahead of me. Hallowed be thy name. He is willing to forgive. We are slow to accept the gift of forgiveness. Doesn't God understand that I'm a sinful man? That's what Peter said. Depart from me, because I'm a sinful man. God understands who we are. He understands who we are. And he is willing to forgive the penitent, the repentant. He is willing to forgive. That's how big he is. That's how kind he is. And because of that kindness, because of that greatness of his character, all I can say is, hallowed be thy name. You're great in majesty. You're great in mercy. May he be highly exalted, highly respected, and may I be willing to forgive my brother 490 times. And look at that as a small task. Not challenge, but small task, yeah. Why should I hallow his name? Because he doesn't want to lead us into trials, and lead me not into temptations, but deliver me from evil. All right. I view that prayer as, don't, you know, trials are here because of way back there in the garden when sin came. And don't lead me into trials, but deliver me from all evil. I think that's what that prayer is about. And what is the name of the place? What do we call it where there is no evil, that place? Heaven. We call it heaven. Yes, there's no evil there, is there? No, there's no evil there. Deliver me from evil. And that's what his desire is, to deliver us from evil. And therefore, we should hallow his name. Praise the Lord. He will deliver us from all evil. We call that heaven. There's no pain. There's no evil. There's no wicked one. There's no sorrow. Yes. That's his plan for those who follow him. And it's the only plan that has such an exceedingly happy ending. Yes, it's by following him, by committing to him, by taking up our cross and following him. Yes, but he will lead us where there is no evil. Hallowed be thy name. May his name be forever exalted. Yes, the other path leads to ruin, to evil, to utter death. And why else should we hallow his name? Because thine is the kingdom. Yes. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forevermore. May it ever be so. He is the exalted king. Someday we will see him in his exalted glory. The disciples got a glimpse of Christ in his exaltation there on the Mount of Transfiguration. Someday we will get to see God and Jesus in their exalted glory, and we will want to glorify and magnify his name at that point forever and ever. How do I hallow his name? praise him. We pray. We read his word. We fear him. We support his church. We trust in him in uncertain times. We obey him. We live nobly like him. Yes, that's what we do. That's what we endeavor to do. I just want to read a few verses from Psalm 95, verse 1 through 6. It's just a beautiful passage about our God. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Hallowed be thy name. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. His strength is the The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. His hands formed the dry ground. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Hallowed be thy name. The devil's trying to establish a kingdom where he is king. And he wants to change God's laws. We don't want to follow that kingdom. Our Heavenly Father will have his kingdom. The psalmist said, "Be still and know that I am God." Turn off the music. Turn off your phone. Stop. And be still. And know that he is God. He is almighty. He is to be your dread and your fear. Hallow his name. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Yes, he will. Then take your whole bundle, the whole bundle of your affections, and cast them out and set your affections on things above. Set your affection on things above. Voluntarily and with your full volition, honor him as Almighty God. Hallowed be thy name. It's something we voluntarily take up. And with our full volition, we take our choice and we cast our affection on God. We choose to cast our affection on God. We choose to give him our highest respect and honor and praise. It's what we need to do. And then we choose to read his word. We choose to embrace his holiness. Yes, I said holiness. It's a good thing. Holiness is a good thing. Then worship and praise him with all of your heart. Yep. So what did he say? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. There it is. Hallowed be thy name. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So set him apart and lift him up. Give him your highest respect. Hold him in the highest honor. Unashamedly identify with him. How would you possibly be ashamed of identifying with the one you hold in the highest honor? And yes, hallowed be your name. And then someday we'll be able to join that crowd up there. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Lord, teach me how to give you the respect and the glory and the honor that is due your name. Teach me, Lord, to think of you in the highest regard and to venerate you and to worship you for your great. Teach me, Lord, how to glorify you in my life, in my thoughts, in my songs, at work, in my recreation, in my friendships, in my prayer, in my words, with my phone. Lord, may you be glorified, yes, in the heavens above and in the realms under the earth, by the rich, by the poor, in health and sickness and sorrow, in joy, in sunshine, in rain, in disaster, in prosperity. O Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And in thy Son's name we pray. Amen.